Don't laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. I'm enjoying the music. Welcome one more time.
You've already had alcohol.
We actually are not. We're not drunk. We're actually recording live from our own houses and Kane's room. Shout out to my boy Kane right there. Welcome one more time to Charlie's Bunker. How's it going, Nella baby?
I'm here sober. This is like an actual first sober Friday.
You feel super what?
Sober.
Sober. Yeah, you don't seem like you're, you know, chirpy self. I think you are having withdrawals now. You've been so used to going out and drinking that now we're actually doing it in the privacy of our homes. You're not you.
I need the liquor.
I think you do. Welcome, guys. One more time. Welcome and thank you for joining us to Charlie's Bunker. This is me, Charlie, your host, and then your co-host, Nelly Baby, for another segment
Our
show. Hey. Okay, before I forget, because I always forget this. I always say it at the end. I want to ask you, please, for the love of God, please share this nonsense. Just share it. I know you guys like it. I seen the statistics. I know you listen to us. I know sometimes you just don't want to admit it, but you do. So share it. Share it and like it.
You know you like us. You want to kiss me.
I know, right? Well, never mind. I'm not even going to get into it. So today is going to be a little different, okay? So for anybody out there who it's listening to us for the first time, we usually do three segments, but today, we're only going to do two. But don't worry, it's not going to be only two segments. It's going to be three segments, but two topics, and one of them, it's going to be split in two, because Nelly Baby and I agreed, right, because we were having this conversation during the week, but this topic, it's not only for one segment. It's actually for a couple. We can tell you now what it is, but we'll tell you later.
Depending on how long it'll take to actually explain it.
No, it's okay, fine. We'll probably do three and four, like whatever. But we're gonna take care of it.
Four?
Okay? No, we're not gonna do four. We gotta go to sleep, all right? And I'm gonna cut the music now. Thank you very much for joining us. So last week, at the end of the recording, we did actually said we were gonna talk about this topic today, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you guys recall, we talked about how people are social and antisocial. Now, Nelly Baby at that point said, oh, I'm very antisocial. Yeah, but that was not the point. The point was that we're both at the same time. And it is a little bit odd because people believe that either you are social or an extrovert or you're antisocial or an introvert. Obviously, we're not going to give the definition of the psychological perspective of what antisocial is. We're going to talk about more people, how they get along and whatnot. Okay, so we're going to try, but I know Nelly Baby. I did actually tell Nelly Baby last week that she had a whole week. And she said, no, you only got 4 hours. Well, guess what, guys? She didn't give me 4 hours. She gave me 24. No, you gave me 24. 24, because you started getting ready yesterday. So thank you, Nelly Baby, for actually doing that. Because I, you know.
And I actually didn't start doing research until 2 hours ago.
You know, at least you're honest. At least you're honest.
Hey,
so
I don't lie. At least I tell you the truth.
Yeah, of course. You know, I couldn't ask less of you because, I mean, obviously, you don't want to make me angry, right? Of course. So, anyways, it's funny when you make me angry. Okay, so social. Okay, the way the book describes social people that are social, it's that people actually like each other. We understand that there are some moments where we just don't like people, period, okay? And mm-hmm. I agree, you know, people actually like a lot of people. Even though you say you're introvert or you don't like people, you're antisocial, we do have a group. We do have a circle. Ain't nobody messing with my click. Sorry, I don't want to get sued. So, you know, just the thing.
You went a little gangster there for
a second? Yeah. Click. Okay, so. I don't know the rest of the lyrics. That's the only thing I know, because that's the only thing I understand. My ears does not allow me to actually listen to good rap because I don't understand what they're saying. especially the mumble rap. I don't understand any of that. Okay,
yeah, anyway. Snoop.
Oh, yeah. Snoop. Let's go back to topic. Okay. So people that are actually social, all right? And because they have their little cliques, right? So I have my group of friends, and Nelly Baby has a group of friends, which obviously I'm in her group of friends, and she's in my friend group. Okay, I'm getting excited because I started going like the rappers. So bear with
me. Stop mumbling, okay? You mumble rapper.
I know. You know, again, I haven't said this in a while. So if I get excited, I start going really fast and I start mumbling. So I apologize for that. But yeah, so I'm in her friends group and she's in my friend group. And we actually have a friend group together. But I've told her many times that I actually do not like mixing my friend groups. For example, I have a bunch of friends who
really
love, yeah I don't like it. There's a bunch of friends that I have,
but you tend to always invite people outside our circle when you know between me and our other friend, you know, no new friends.
Yeah, no, hashtag. See, here's the thing, I invite people that are in my circle of friends, but
exactly,
not in
which
your
you have to
but
go
not in your circle of friends.
Exactly. That's why you have to go through an interview process before you even enter the circle of friends.
I mean, you're right. And I do. And that's why they're in my group of friends.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be allowed into my circle.
Yeah. And that's where actually the antisocial part comes in, right? It's when people who you do not appreciate because of X, Y, and Z, and you don't actually take them in as your clique, right? So they're the ones that are messing with your clique. So let's explain a little bit about on that. Since you did your research 2 hours ago, what did you find out?
Well, I came upon...
You should have seen her hands. Well, and you know.
Well, in the documented search of El Google, I was looking for the positivity of the aspects of being antisocial and social. So what are the benefits of being either?
Okay, so did you get the definition of what, in that sense, antisocial will be? Or, I mean, I guess we already explained it, so we don't have to explain that. But let's get into this, okay? The group of friends. Why do you have that group of friends that you have? Obviously because it's me. Duh. But beyond that, why do you consider your friends close friends?
Because you share a certain bond, certain interests. I guess loyalty is one of them. Also, you know, hashtag gang life, thug life,
Pilsen life,
the hood, the
Pilsen life.
Pilsen in the 90s, not right now with those hipsters.
Shout out to the Pilsen in the 90s.
Uh-huh. You got some gangster squats.
Uh-huh.
Remember? That's our inside joke. You just killed it, man.
I'm sorry. I did. I was waiting for you to bring the point across. I was like, oh, man, she's on a roll. She's on a roll. And then I got disconnected.
No, but like basically you got those similar interests, your locations where you like to hang out with, what you like to do, play games. Man, I can't believe there's people that are and actually younger than us that are interested in ping pong, and that's one of their common interests.
Ping pong?
Ping pong.
Who the heck is interested in ping pong?
There's like really competitive people that like to play ping pong. From my new department.
Excuse me, because I know that I've been reduced to the time with my best friend. She's my best friend. She's a real.
Oh no, anyways. It's not them. It's actually the people I work with, the group.
It's a good thing they don't hear us. Because seriously, they'll
no,
be like,
"No, it's a good
hey,
thing that I don't advertise hey. The podcast."
Damn.
With them.
She just straight out went there. Oh, that's messed up. So, guys, please share this. Share this, please.
Oh, trust me. I have one of them that's on my Facebook page. So, I wouldn't doubt she's seen the page.
Ooh. Okay, that's good. That's good. So, now she'll know that you took my time. This means war. Anyways, let's go beyond that. So, what do you say? It will be the, listen, you're not part of the group because I don't like you. Why wouldn't you like someone to be part of your group? your clique, the dislikes.
Don't make it sound like such a bully.
No, it's not being a bully. I mean, let's be realistic. There are some people that I'm like, okay, you're far away, and I want you over there. Don't even come near this spot, because this is my turf. Don't even come near this, because this is me. That's over there, you. This is me. So what would you say that, or to you, what will it be that different perspectives of why you wouldn't like anybody getting involved in your clique? Like, for example, you just said it right now. When I introduce somebody new to our group, you gotta do that interview process. What would you look for to like them? And what would you dislike them?
Not trying so hard. I'm not going to say that I'm not a people pleaser, because I can be at times. But somebody that doesn't try too hard to want to win you over, like kissing your ass.
But it's us. Now, hear that. Dude. I said us, not me. I said us.
Your head is getting a little too big.
I'm excited.
But somebody who doesn't try too hard, doesn't try to already include themselves into the group as thinking that they're already part of the group. No. Don't try to take leadership, because again, we started this group. You have to go through the interview process in order to fit into the group.
You have to earn your ranks. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. You have to go through the hierarchy.
You have to go through, like, you know how sororities and fraternities have like certain tasks that they have to complete in order to even be part of the frat.
Uh-huh.
That's what you gotta go through.
Well, I never went to college, so I don't know about frat life. All I know, it's about, you know, like last week we were talking about how, you know, we have men have brotherhoods, right? So, So I sometimes when I see someone who is not, what's the word I'm looking for, cannot click with that brotherhood, we just don't take him in. It's just real this odd way of you know, like he's all right. But not good enough for it to be in the clique. And I guess that happens to a lot of people, and pretty much in other aspects of nature, because I've seen the documentary channel, Discovery Channel, where a bunch of animals mm-hmm. where they're like, no, man, you're not part of this. And they kick them out. So I think it's a natural thing.
If they sniff you out, man, and you're not fitting that scent, or your aura's not really giving in that aura that says, hey, you cool. We're going to keep you in that group. You cool.
So we know for a fact that religion has a lot to do with it. Politics mm-hmm. has a lot to do with it, especially lately. If you support the, you know, certain group, or if you support another group, or if you're in favor of this or in favor of that, if you go for Trump, if you go for Biden and whatever, we know that that causes a lot of divisions, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So do you think that that could start from there? Because we are that sort of group that is not want to get involved with that group, but we don't see that it's pretty much what nature intended?
I'm not really into politics.
But you don't have to be into politics for you to see that there's a lot of division among groups.
Maybe if that's their common interest, it kind of turns me off.
Turns you up?
Off.
Off, okay. Well, that means that there's something about them that you don't agree with. The mentality or yeah. the behavior or the similarities, right?
Yeah.
So like, for example, let's say if you find somebody who is against, because I know you're, you know, pro-abortion and whatever, right? But mm-hmm. if somebody's like really strongly against it, I don't see you having a good relationship with that person.
Not if they try to fight me for my opinion, because each person has their right to have their own opinion.
Yeah, I agree. So that's, I think, where the antisocial part aspect comes into it, right? Because we're creating that division based on, I think, ideas or, you know, ideologies. But I want to touch something you did say before we started recording, and you said that both of them have some benefits to it. So what did you find out about the benefits of being social and antisocial?
Well, supposedly, they say that being social, it kind of sharpens your sense of memory and your cognitive skills, which I never knew that had anything to do with being social. Actually, it increases your sense of happiness, your well-being, and it actually helps you live longer.
I don't think that's the case with us in Latin America. I don't think that's the case.
No, because we use basically alcohol with basically shortening your life.
So. For reals. Like, hey, man, we'll get along. Go. Hey, you like Aussie? I like Aussie. Hey, yeah. And then you start drinking. Obviously, we're not going to say Aussie. Be like, hey, you like Vicente?
I like Vicente. I like karaoke.
Vámonos, pues. Ay! And then, you start drinking. The next thing you know, it's like 3:00 in the morning. You're wasted and you're singing karaoke, right? It's like singing a bunch of rancheras.
And then throwing up in the back seat of your car.
I know. That's basically. But you had a great night.
That was a good time.
But that was a great time. So that's what I'm saying. I guess mentally speaking, and in the form of hormones, that actually does help because it makes you feel happier. You have the euphoria, but then you're killing your liver. So I guess it's an even trade. I think it's a good trade. I'll do it. I do it all the time. So I think it's an even trade.
And then another thing is that being social actually helps to boost your immune system, improves your blood pressure, and reduces symptoms of depression. That I do get. But right now, during the times of, COVID and more COVID, boosting your immune system, I think that's kind of affecting us now, not really helping with our immune system. It's actually hurting us now because you never know who's around you anymore.
Yeah, but it's true. But I remember when the whole pandemic started, I was very happy because there was no people around. No offense. I love you guys, right? But I love you from far away. That's why we do this. And we recorded our house today. So I needed some time to be among my oasis. And that's good. That's good. Sometimes you do need that break from people and the environment, right? I guess the antisocial aspect. What do you mean only for me? There's a lot of people that we know in common that they're like, hey, man, I like it. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm in between. Sometimes I have my moments where I just want to be by myself and just chill and not have to think and just be quiet and sleep.
Sometimes.
My safe circle is sleeping.
Sometimes Nelly Baby feels like Celine Dion. The evil Celine Dion. All by myself.
That's one of my favorite songs to sing in karaoke.
Yeah, but it's she says don't wanna be, but since you're evil Celine Dion is I want to be.
I do wanna
you
be.
You do, yeah, of course you do. Come on. That's what we get along. That's what we get along. We have that similarity in common. Okay. So what are the positive things of being antisocial?
The positivity of being antisocial. They actually say it improves creativity. That I get because you're alone and you got nothing else to do but think.
Well, not only that, you actually get to express yourself freely, right? So if you are alone, like for example, at the beginning of the pandemic, I did say, hey, since you're going to be alone, try to learn a new instrument. I pulled out my guitar and I did a little video. But, the idea was that since you're going to be, if you're an extrovert and you like to be friendly and social, they were going to take that away from you. So the idea was to distract you in some sort of way and learn from somebody who likes to be alone that sometimes you need that's time and space to get into your head, to know yourself, and then learn something new. Because it was going to be a rough time for anybody, right? Except for people like me that like to be alone most of the time. But, you get to learn something. So that itself, it's a good thing. So if you are antisocial, you don't want to like hang around with people a lot because you dislike them in a certain way, that's the best way to go. Be creative. What else?
If improves your focus, you have better focus because you have enough time to just focus on whatever you need to, like you say, practice reading, either reading or practicing, playing your guitar, etc., your interests, drawing. My thing is when I'm alone and I'm really, really bored, I tend to draw, which I haven't done in a very long time.
The last time she drew was when she kicked my butt in a competition that we had about drawing, and she definitely kicked my butt. Like, no hands
I'm
up.
I'm not going to say no.
She got so...
I actually did.
She was so good at it that my best drawing, she perfected it. She's like, no, this is bad. I'm going to fix this. And she did. And I was like, oh, dang. Come on, man. You're going to just roast me like that? And she goes, yeah. And that was the last time I saw you.
That's what I do best.
That's what you do. Yeah, that's what you do best. That's what you're my co-host. Burn me around. stuff like that. Okay, so when it comes to us as a society, right? What do you think would be the good side about being social? It's not only the individual now, but you got a group of individuals that share the same interest and the same ideas, and they get together. And now, what will be the positive side about a community coming together with the same ideas and being social? What is the positive and the upbeat of all of that? What do you think?
You're networking amongst your peers.
Yeah.
You're learning not only your interests, other people's similar interests, other people's different interests, either let it be cultural and maybe from different cultures, nationalities, society, and also religion, even though I don't like to talk about it.
You know, it's funny because I saw a video, and I probably pretty much everybody probably saw this video already, but this guy, this Mexican guy, is being interviewed. I think it was on TikTok or something like that. And he's like, oh, yeah, no.
You're referencing TikTok?
Somebody put it on Facebook.
It's on record. No. Record, people.
Somebody posted the damn thing on Facebook, and it happened to be on Facebook, and they showed it. Anyways, that's not the point. Mm-hmm. The point is that he's been interviewed, and he's like, oh, and this, you know, N-word this, N-word that, and then two African-Americans, you know, walk behind him, and as the moment he's going, oh, and this, and then that, they turn around, and he go, what'd you say? And then he turns around, and the Mexican guy is wasted. He's like, what'd you say? And then he goes, yeah, you know, and, you know, the N-word. And then he goes, what? He's like, you know I can say it. You know, we're the same. And then the black guy goes and says, órale, güey. And they're like all laughing and, you know. And I think that was very interesting because, you know, obviously the N-word for some, it's very offensive if you're not African-American. For other African-Americans, it's okay if you say it because they're allowing you to say it. But the idea is that they had this thing in common, right? Mm-hmm. This similarity that, okay, so we're not different. Even though we're two cultures, we're not different. So I think that's the positive thing about being social, right? That you can open up your mind a little bit more and your mentality and see that other people do not have to share your same ideas, but you can be respectful. I think we're missing that right now. I think we're actually missing that right now. What do you think?
And also, it also helps that, you know, due to cultural upbringing, depending on the neighborhoods that you grew up in, mm-hmm. right now, due to gentrifying?
Yeah.
Now they're having a mixture of different cultures and community, not just only, you know, you have your certain black neighborhoods, your Latino neighborhoods, your white neighborhoods, supposedly. Now you're getting a mixture of that culture of not only a certain race. Now you have everybody living together amongst each other. Mm-hmm. And like in that video, basically you could tell that you have the Latinos and the blacks that actually grew up together as neighbors, that they don't see any color difference.
Yeah. And I think that's something. Go and continue.
No, and I've noticed that in TikTok before I even get banned on TikTok. They're doing a lot of like attacks against each other's cultures because there's a lot of like, I forget where TikTok comes from. Is it manufactured by Japan or an Asian
TikTok
market?
TikTok?
Yeah.
TikTok is made by China.
Yeah, well, a lot of Latinos and blacks are kind of emphasizing that TikTok is kind of like initiating like a race war amongst blacks and Latinos.
And I guess that's the downfall of being antisocial because we know that there's a lot of misinformation, misconception that people dislike each other. Now, in Latin America, I remember when I was a kid, we didn't care, and I've said this many times before, we didn't care about the race because to us, Mexicans are Mexicans, and period. We don't care if you're brown, black, yellow, whatever, right? We didn't care. If you were poor, you were with us. And when I came here, it was a cultural shock because I remember that when I came here, that a lot of African Americans will dislike me. And I was like, first of all, I don't even speak the language, so I don't know what you were talking about. And two, why would you dislike me? We're pretty much the same. So in my head, we were the same. In their head, we were different. But I think that's the negative aspect of being antisocial. Right now, we're having that disconnection, and I think that having a disconnection when it comes to the group or the community of being antisocial, you have two different ideologies that it becomes some sort of religion. And I'm not saying the spiritual kind. I mean, like, literally the idea that you're right and nobody else is right but you. And it creates that animosity that we're seeing right now. So I think mm-hmm. that the reason why I wanted to bring this point is because to prove that we are the ones that create everything, right? Individuals create everything. And the consequences of things we're going through right now is because we are creating it. So how can we stop it? How can we, you know, because if you look at it in a broad perspective, right? If you have, let's say, for example, two countries going against each other because of ideologies, you have one country who is really firm to their ideas and they go into war with another country. They're really, you know, stubborn and stern in their ideas, and they fight for many, many years without resolving anything. And I think this is the conclusion. This is the reason why, because we are by nature social and antisocial. Give me your thoughts.
Well, I think I'm a little bit of both. Like I said before, I'm social when I want to be and when I'm with the right group of people. I'm antisocial when it comes to when I am in a group of people that I'm not really comfortable with or I'm not known or familiar with. So I prefer just to stand on my own and be silent and quiet because I'm not comfortable in that situation at the moment. So I'm a little bit of both.
And I think that that's what we're trying to say, that everybody, it's a little bit of both, right? Everyone in this earth, mm-hmm. it's a little bit of both. I think that the difference is that you're not a confrontational person unless you're provoked. Right?
Yeah.
Can I say that that's true? Okay. I am a very argumentative person, but I'll respect your ideas, but I want to know why you see the way you see things, right? So that's the only thing that Nelly Baby and I, one of the many things that Nelly Baby and I, don't, sometimes we don't see eye to eye. Because sometimes I go, and why is this? And why is that? And why is that? And then she goes like, will you just shut the hell up? I see the look.
Mm-hmm.
I see the look. See, she doesn't even disagree. Like, no, Charlie, what are you talking about? You're my best friend. No, no, no. She's like, yeah, you punk. I see you. I see you.
And in the words of our other friend, I'm not agreeing to saying, you know, Charlie is the best and Charlie knows everything. And I agree with Charlie. Charlie is always right.
Right. No, don't be sarcastic. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. But no, I mean, going back to the topic, I think that that's why, and this is my crazy theory, and this is before we close because we're almost hitting the 30 minutes. And we'll come back for the next segment, which is actually more spicy. But to close this, a lot of people are right now are fighting for equality. Okay. So that means mm-hmm. that everyone is going to be or trying to be the same. And because of this reason, I don't think we're ever going to get there. I'll be honest with you. I don't think equality is not the answer for any of this. I think that equity is the answer for all of this. Okay. I agree that
equality is a hard word, though, because in every culture, equality is not the same meaning.
And that's my point. And going back to the nucleus of this whole thing, there are some people that are not going to like what you like. And they're not going to agree to what you agree with.
I'm sorry. I love my African-American people and I believe in their matter. But Black Lives Matter, yes, Black Lives do matter. But why does it only have to be Black Lives Matter only? See, I'm not giving it any disvalue or anything like that because I don't want people to think anything negative about it. But it's like not only one culture is always going to be right. We have to be open to everybody else's beliefs. You know, we have to support each other. Not only Black Lives Matter. Yes, we can believe in their cause, but you got to remember too, we as Latinos also have rights as well, and they're not as different as Black Lives Matter. And Black people have to remember, we're not taking that away from you. We just want to work as a community because we're both people of color that have to work together.
See, and that's one of the reasons why when I arrived to the country, I actually thought it was a little bit odd because in our history, if you were Indian or if you were Black, you were automatically a slave. If you're not a Spaniard, you were automatically a slave. So for us, we're in the same boat. We're pretty much the same in the same group of people. So therefore, we categorize ourselves as that. Here in the United States, it was a little bit different, right? So when they had this animosity between, you know, Latin Americans or Latinos and African Americans or any other group, I'm thinking, yeah, you're in the same position that I am. What makes you a little higher than what I am, right, in the hierarchy? And that's what I never got. But going to what Nelly Baby said, she's right. You know, we appreciate and we understand the movement, but in reality, all of us are getting affected. So the equality, and I don't want to touch that, you know, in depth, but the equality that we're fighting for, I don't think we're never going to achieve it because there's so many people that have different ideas, different beliefs. We're social with some, antisocial with others. And if they go against what you're saying, then you have this animosity and you're clashing constantly. So I do believe that we need something that's going to be across the board helping every single group of people. Because in order for you to reach equality, I think you have to give away your history, your culture, your ideas, your religion, everything else for us to be the same. And that's never going to happen. So I can't, yeah. I cannot say that that's reachable. Now, this is from a leftist who, again, believes in the ideology of Che Guevara, which pretty talks about that. Not the equality of people, but the equity of people. And I'm going to leave it with that. Anything else before we close the segment?
Be safe out there.
We're not closing the show. We're just closing the segment.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I'm like,
all right, guys. It was a great night. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye. We're not doing that. No, we're gonna play some music.
The booster vaccine.
We're gonna play some music. Oh, she got the booster today, so now she's delirious. So she didn't get drunk, but she got the booster, and now she's delirious. You know, whatever.
And I was can-canning and tap dancing at work, so in the hall. So
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Can-king?
I wasn't at when they do. It's another form of 1940s version of kind of like tap dancing.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that because we even did it together. All right. Well, we're going to close this segment. We're going to go play some music and we'll come back. You got it? Take it away, Jenny.
Take it away, Jenny.
You thank you. All right. We'll be back, guys. And we're back, guys. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed that music. And this topic, okay, this topic was sent to us by one of our listeners. I'm not going to say names, all right? I am not going to save names. I'm going to save that for, you know who you are. You know, you're listening. You know who you are.
Okay? Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And this is for you. This segment is because you brought it here. And you decided for
and
us to talk about it.
Since we're putting their topic, make sure that they share and follow and like.
That's true. And also, if you want us to cover a topic, you can be more than happy to send it to us on the Facebook page, which is Charlie's Bunker on Facebook. Or you can send it to our Instagram. Or you can send it to our TikTok. Or just make sure you send it on Facebook. It's the easiest way. Just send it on Facebook, which is Charlie's Bunker. And he has this awesome picture as the icon. Okay, I just show everybody on the video which is the page icon, the picture profile. So, yeah, just go there and you'll find it. Okay, so word to the wise and warning: this segment it's for adult audiences only. Okay,
sexually experienced people.
Yes, sexually experienced people or adults. Okay, so. If you are not an adult over 18 who's sexually experienced, turn it off. I don't want to be responsible for whatever happens after this. This is your disclaimer. Not for children. Turn it off. Okay, this adult conversation now.
My number one fan cannot listen.
You cannot listen to this segment. Okay, go and do your homework or whatever you got to do. Okay, so the topic: threesomes. Okay, they actually sent us this topic and said, hey guys, listen, I actually had this friend who said this, right? And he wants to try it out. He or she wants to try it out. That's what they put, okay? What do you think? Is it a good idea? Well, this first segment that we're going to talk about is going to be the positive things or the pros of why you should have a threesome. Okay, so we went and did the research, and there's 12 reasons why you should have a threesome. Okay, and this is on the Metro UK. All right, and it talks about why you should have a threesome, which is 12 points. Okay, so the first reason why, okay, it says they're naughty. All right, I guess that's obvious, right? If you're thinking about having a threesome, is because you want to experience something and you're just being a little bit naughty. You're being a little randy. Like, you know, Austin Powers
would
say.
How is that a pro, though?
Because they, I don't know. They just said they're naughty. I guess that you need to have a certain level of confidence for you to actually involve another person into the group, right? Now, we were talking about earlier about social and antisocial. So I guess that they're actually pretty social with each other to invite somebody else into their sex life.
You got to be really comfortable with yourself and your relationship and your actual self to actually invite another person into the relationship.
I mean, I think that's the point. And I think that's a very good indication that you are very pleased with yourself. And I think that if you know the agreement and you know what you're getting yourself into, I think that it's just because of, you know, naughtiness. They just want to experience something different, you know? So
they want a little spice in their life.
They want a little spice in their life. So I think, even though that's the obvious one, I think it makes sense, right? 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 I don't think it's a strong point for you to have a threesome. Let me just say that. Just because you're naughty, I mean, okay.
Sometimes naughty, I guess it's the endorphins that excites you.
Maybe. I guess that saying, well, you're naughty, it's like saying, nah, I'm bored, but what the hell? I got nothing else better to do. Let me have a threesome.
And sometimes I feel like it's just a dare. Like you're daring your partner to say, I bet you wouldn't. You wouldn't want a threesome.
You know, that's a good point, but I think that plays a little bit on the negative. So we're going to put a pause on that, a dot on it, and we're going to come back to it later because that's actually a very good... And the research that I did, that's actually a very good point, but that's more of a negative aspect than a positive aspect. So I don't think that should be something to consider positive to have a threesome. But it's possible. It's possible. All right, number two, okay? Life's too short.
You can put it on your bucket list.
Yeah. Yeah, you know there's some people that want to get a tattoo. Some people that want to learn how to ride a bicycle. Some people want to...
I got too many tattoos.
Some people that want to... Okay. Right? I mean, one day Nelly Baby will probably open up her fans only and she'll show you all her tattoos. I don't know. I don't want to be involved in that conversation. I'm just saying. Because that was a random thing to say. That was a random thing to say.
Special parts of tattoos.
That's even a worse random thing to say. Seriously. I don't know how to respond to that. Hey, I really don't know how to respond to that.
That's going to add to our viewers.
Right. Okay. Life's too short. I guess. But is it... I mean... Again,
am
is it
I willing
obvious?
To risk having another negative? Am I willing to get an STD or any like sexual disease in order to have that wonderful fantasy off the bucket list?
Well, the article said, and I agree with you. I don't think it's a good. I don't think it's a reason enough, but it says because you'll regret things if you don't. And that's a good point because sometimes the feelings are so strong that you want to try something new that you just want to take the risk. And I think risk taking, it's actually pretty good. You know, it's better. What is it? It's better to be safe than sorry. I don't know. Is that what the motto that I'm going with? I guess I am. I don't know. But I think that a lot of people are feeling strong enough for them to actually try something new, to spice their life, to actually think that, you know, YOLO, right? You only live once. So I guess
we'll go with the positive. Actually, a threesome is the most common sexual fantasy amongst Americans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a good point. And also to mention that, and I'm going to ask you a question just in case you don't know. Do you know the percentage of women that actually do want to have a threesome versus the men, the percentage?
I think it's more than the men.
To be exact, it is 87% for women and 95% for men among the ages of 18 to 40.
To 87, I was surprised.
No. Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 87. 87. And imagine, I never thought that the number for women was actually that high. 87% of women actually have fantasized about having a threesome. That is crazy.
But it all depends on the partners, because most women want to fantasize about having two male partners with themselves, or sometimes depending on the sex of the woman, the woman's preference, sometimes it could be two women with the woman. So say she has her lesbian lover with another lesbian or bisexual, or a woman that's interested in having a threesome with a lesbian relationship.
That, I mean, yeah, I guess that's, I you know what, that's actually something very interesting. Like, what do you think about that? You as a woman, what do you think about that statistic?
What, having sex with lesbians?
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak on that behalf because I'm not, you know, but.
I think I would feel more comfortable with a woman threesome than actually two men.
Okay. I mean, to each his own. And because the reason I'm saying that is it's because actually the female-female-male, it's more common than the male-male-female. And again, it's a little, it's it blows my mind.
I don't feel comfortable with two females and a male.
I mean, you don't, but the number said that that's the most common.
It is the most common, but I wouldn't want it that way.
I mean, sure, I guess, but I'm just amazed, and not because I'm, you know, sexist or whatnot, but because society has taught us that women are more reserved, but this study has actually shown that a lot of women actually imagine this, and it's intense, because even though the man is known to have this fantasy more than women, right, we're talking mm-hmm. about only an 8% difference. I thought it was going to be more. I thought it was going to be probably like 90-10, right? But no, it's very close. And it's, I don't know. It just amazed me when I read this.
I think sometimes it's more women, because the women want to spice up the relationship. If saying if it's the woman in a heterosexual relationship, I think they want to make sure that their husband is still interested in the relationship, or their significant other is still interested in the relationship and they want to keep the spice in their life. So I think that's why women are more into the thinking possibility of having a threesome involved in a relationship.
Okay, I mean, that makes sense. But actually, the third point of this article, it says, many hands make light work. Now that is a little dumb. But I'm gonna read the quote, okay? Anyone who has indulged in group sex will tell you that extra body in bed will lead to sensory discoveries you never thought possible. Mind blown. Okay, that's end quote. That would be the dumbest thing. I think that there's more factors. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Tell me. You're like,
Well, there's the yes to that, depending on, like for me, I think it's the intimacy when it comes to you and your partner. If you explore each other's bodies, and it's a sense of more of a further connection.
Uh-huh.
And I think if a third person is involved, then maybe that person has different techniques on how to get more, like, I guess, like sensory-wise, getting to discover each other's bodies and a sense of connection, further connection than that.
I mean, that's true. I guess that I was thinking more of the likes of, you know, if there's three people and they all do different things, then you can discover different things and therefore explore different, you know, aspects of your body. And that's what makes it different, right? I mean, mm-hmm. everybody has different experiences and different ideas. So therefore you could do different things. I guess that at that point you got to put in the contract, we are not going to do this, but this is okay. Because, I mean, I think that's mm-hmm. one of the things that has to be done, right? To be in agreement yeah. on what you're going to do, right?
You have to have an agreement and decide whether there's, you know, safe words, what is in the boundaries, what is not in that, yeah. out of the boundaries.
Yeah, you're right. And again, we're not going to get explicit, but, you know, let's say you're having a threesome with two guys, and next thing you know, they're, you know, playing sword fight. I don't know, man. That's just a little weird for me. I was going to say, not to be homophobic, but I mean, all I'm saying is that, you know, I wouldn't feel comfortable with that.
Maybe the somebody in that group was interested in the same sex.
Maybe.
And they didn't know until this kind of arose, that interest.
Maybe. So, I mean, if you ever experience different, and I guess one of the things we haven't discussed and we have to say is that if you just want to have a physical encounter with two people and have a threesome, I guess that's fine. But if you have a serious relationship where you're married or you have a long existing relationship with somebody and you throw that into the bowl, then I guess that has its different complications. But again, I think we're going to talk about that in the next segment, not this one. Let's just enjoy with the physicality of the thing, right? When you enjoy it. Obviously, we already said that it spices the sex life. That was the fourth point. And the fifth one is, you can take a break. Now, you're going to have a threesome. And you're going to tap out? Bro, you kidding me? You kidding me?
I don't think I would like that.
Be like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Oh my God, I need some air. Boy. Imagine Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan. Brother, psh. And now they're tic-tagging. I don't know, man.
Basically, hermanitos de leche.
I know, right? No, English. That's just hermanitos, you know, homeboys, I guess. I don't know. All I'm saying is
homeboys.
Go all or go home. I'm just saying. Go all or go home. I wouldn't take a break. And I'm going to save that another point for the next one because
I think if you are
self-conscious and you've seen, as a man, you're seeing the other dude is beating you in your own game, dude, what the fish? Where's the pride? Where's the pride?
Like, do you think I want to see my spouse or my significant other enjoying another woman's body? No.
Okay. Again, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Wank bank material. Now, they're the UK. I don't understand what they mean by that. Wank bank material.
What was it?
Wank bank material. I don't know what they mean by that, but it says...
Oh, wank is sex.
I thought wank was masturbation. I don't know. At that point, I guess that you could go with it.
I guess what, you know, pleasing yourself while you're watching?
I guess.
Your other person.
But again, go all or go home. Why would you do it if you're not going to be involved in it? I'm just saying. You know, why you take that break? Finish it like a, you know, finish strong. Go the distance, said Rocky. Go the distance. All right. Sexual bonds. That's the number 7. Adults have secrets. You know you want some. Okay.
No.
Yeah, I guess. It's a reality check. Number 8, it's a reality check. I don't see how that would be a positive. I think that's more soul crushing than anything.
That's
I don't think so either. I think so too. I don't think that's a positive. But okay, we'll go with it. You learn to multitask. Brother, if you don't know how to multitask by now, a threesome's not going to give it to you. I'm just saying.
I was like, what are you trying to do? Are you working?
I don't know. I mean, you're checking your emails as you're doing your thing. Or you're going to be like the guy from the Office Space. I need you to work on Saturday. No. I mean, I don't know.
I got this project for you to finish.
I know, right? I don't think they went with that. But again, that's what we're making fun of because I think the word was different. But if you are talking about, you know, doing certain things with certain part of your bodies at the same time while you're doing the obvious, if you're not doing it now, I don't know what the hell you've been doing. Amish? You know, I don't know.
I heard people enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm not going to discuss that. All I'm saying is, and for people who don't know what the Amish is, we're not going to talk about it right now, but give us a shout out and we'll definitely explain what that means. But I think that that sounds more of a inexperienced kind of way. So if you're going to have not that experience, just don't go into it because you might be disappointed. All right. Okay. Here, number 10, I don't agree with that. Okay. It's a bit of a laugh. Dude, if you're having a threesome and they're laughing, they're not laughing with you.
They're laughing at you.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Okay. The quote is, which really the bottom line, A threesome isn't something you should never feel obliged to do. Thank you. To do or be bullied into. It is something which, when done by consenting adults, can mean hours of fun. Okay, hours, I guess. Fine. Hours.
What are we, rabbits?
I know, right? Sex is supposed to be fun. Threesomes are supposed to be very fun. Okay, sure, we can go with that, I guess. But I wouldn't be laughing, I'll tell you that. Okay? Number 11. And I agree with this one. Actually, this one, I can say that it's positive. You'll push your boundaries. I guess that I can agree with.
You're going to push your boundaries?
Yeah.
Wait, like your safe zone or what? Like what?
I think they mean by experience something that you've never experienced before. It's going to open up your sensory, right, system to a different, like I said, a different set of techniques, ideas, or a different way of pleasing each other. So I think that's actually very, very fair to say. Cause,
oh, so you're taking tips from the other person that was added into the relationship.
I wouldn't say tips. Because I'm not going to be like, hey, man, you know, what do you
tips
do?
And tricks?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. What do you do if
but like writing it down. Hold on.
You do you, but let me take notes on this.
You did that?
Yeah. So if you're, you know, your partner, your female partner.
Or, move the leg.
Yeah. Oh no. She raised the leg 45 degrees. Oh, let me write it down because it seemed very enjoyable. I don't think that's going to happen. But I don't think so. But, you know, you can actually do some other things, like more toys if they're involved, or, you know, food if you never try food or stuff like that. I think that's where they're going with, right?
Food is very sticky.
I agree. I don't know why you even said that. We were not even going there. But.
Oh, so I heard.
Oh, you heard. Great that you cover that. But I think it does open up to another sensory. And that's the whole idea of the thing, right? I mean, trying something new. Therefore, if you're going to try it already, might as well open up the boundaries and, again, go all the way. If not, go home. They can tag somebody else into the group, right? Instead of, you know.
Here, take the whipped cream.
Right? Instead of having, you know, Hulk Hogan and Randy Macho Savage, they can have The Rock and John Cena. I don't know. Snap. They can have somebody else do the job for you.
Whipping it up.
Right? Okay. Number 12. It's something to tell to the grandchildren. Why the heck? That is not a positive.
I can imagine. Let's have some tea and crumpets. And let's talk about how Granny used to shag with 10,000 people.
Okay, on that note.
Big ol' orgy.
On that note, maybe they're right. Because Nancy Reagan right now, it's a hit. Because apparently.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, you don't know what that means?
No.
Okay, so I had to actually ask somebody who was making memes of that. And turns out that the first lady, the one who said no to drugs, never said no to a BJ. And she was really good at it. And according to the source, 90% of Hollywood knew this. So
she was the talk of the town.
That's right. So apparently she got down and dirty before she said, oh, just say no to drugs, but say yes to BJs.
That's why Mr. Reagan was always smiling.
That's right. You should learn from her, Lorena. Bob it. Oh, no, that's not the one. What was the name of that Clinton one? Lorena was the one that cut the penis
Monica
off.
Lewinsky.
Monica Lewinsky. You should learn from her. Please. Child's play, she said. Child's play.
But, okay. Allegedly, because I don't want to get sued by Monica.
Yeah, allegedly. I'm sorry, allegedly. Okay, we're going to cut this off. Allegedly. Okay, allegedly. It's a joke, guys. It's a joke. It's a joke, man. Anyways.
I'm a fan, Monica.
Well, Lorena Bob is going to come and chop it off, and then the other one's going to sue me. And then answering is going to be, like, yeah, but say no to drugs in prison. I'm just saying. Why the hell will you tell that to your grandkids? That is not a positive thing to have a threesome.
You don't want
to
have tea and crimpets and talk about your orgy days?
I don't think I want to be, you know, 67 or 70 and be like, hey, you know. Be like, hey, little Charlie, I'm going to tell you when I was 30-something, I had a threesome. And it was great. You should try it too. Be like, what the hell, Grandpa? Why would I know this? You know, it's just fun. I did it because I had a threesome because I wanted to tell my kids and, the, you know, grandkids in the future. That's all. I don't think that should be a good reason for it. I think
don't be a bore.
Yeah, I don't think
be that's a whore.
Yeah. That's gonna be another t-shirt. So to finish this segment of the positive things, that list was really bad. Okay. I will tell you the reasons why you should actually have a threesome. Okay. I'm not recommending you
and
should.
And you got it from the worst reference. I love the UK and all, but their morality is out the window.
Yeah. So you did have some points too of why. Do you have some?
Well, basically you covered almost all of them.
Okay. So why you should have a threesome? Enjoy the experience. If you always wanted to do it and she agrees with it, I think it'd be a great experience. I think that a lot of people fantasize it. Not a lot of people actually get it done. And the studies have said that only 18 men and 10% of women actually do the threesome, which is actually a very reasonable number. I don't think it was going to be very high on that aspect. But the fantasy one, that actually did blow me off. But 10% of women, 18% of men actually do it, and they want to enjoy life. They want to enjoy the experience. They want to have something that they could say they did it under their belt, right? Obviously, with the precautions, and if you're willing and you come to an agreement, then why not, right? You're adults. You're
whatever
consenting,
floats your boat.
Whatever floats your boat. You want to be social with each other? Be my guest, all right?
If you want to share sausages, it's up to you.
That's up to you. We're just saying that those are actually pretty good idea. That's a pretty good experience if you have it. I've never had one. I don't want one because, I mean, I'm very self-conscious about everything. So, no, I wouldn't have one. But if you want to.
And by the way, they'll kill you.
And they'll kill me. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's what I'm saying. I will not. I will not have one. And I don't want to suggest one. And therefore, I wouldn't do it. But if you have you have the curiosity, you have no long-term relationship, you're not going to lose a lot of things, then why not? I think it's a very good experience. But with that being said, we're going to go into the negative aspects of why you should not have a threesome. Okay? So let's go back to some music, and we'll come back after this. And we're back for our last segment of the second topic. And this is the reasons of why you should not have a threesome and why it's a bad idea to have a threesome and why it shouldn't be recommended. Okay. Again, this topic was sent to us. I wouldn't talk about this period because I'm very reserved. Oh, I was expecting a sarcastic comment or something. Okay, good. You agree with me. Usually those kinds of topics, I'm like, oh my God. No. Okay. So again, I wouldn't.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Okay. After this, you'll probably be sleeping on the couch.
Yeah. Or, you know, in my car. Probably. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, again, I do not consent to threesome, okay? Again, it's a topic that it's exclusively for sexual experienced people or anybody over 18. So, if you're not, get out. Okay, Nelly Baby, why would you not agree with a threesome?
Coming from myself personally, I'm very self-conscious. And I wouldn't feel comfortable somebody that's not my partner that I'm already comfortable with seeing my body.
Okay.
So you have to be very confident. So I, in my words, I wouldn't feel comfortable with a third person because I wouldn't feel comfortable showing my whole body to a stranger.
So that's one. If you have body dysmorphia and you're when you have body dysmorphia, I think it takes a lot for you to open up to just one person, right? Because you're very self-conscious.
Even to your partner.
That's what I'm saying, that one person, right? Your partner or whatnot. And I think that you have to bring down a lot of barriers for you to actually just get intimate with that one person. Bringing a second one into the mix, I think that creates a lot of insecurities, a lot of anxiety after. Because, again, at the moment you're having that you know, event, the sexual intercourse, your hormones are raising. So obviously it's going to be a fun trip. You're going to be enjoying it. But once you hit those hormones going low, you're going to realize what you did. You're like,
I would shut down.
I think a lot of people would shut down. So that's one of the reasons why I don't think a threesome is a good idea, because at the moment you'll actually find it very fun and interesting, but then once you realize what's going on and what happened, then it's going to play some psychological warfare game in your head. And I think that is going to kill you in the long run. Not literally, right? But mentally, it's going to be too devastating, because so many doors are going to be open that a lot of people don't think they were there to begin with. So I think that itself, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, because then what if my partner is actually looking at this, say if we have another female in the mix, and my partner is actually more sexually attracted to this person we added into the relationship.
And that's the second thing, right? That's the second reason why it is not, because you're going, I believe, again, this is something I've discovered in the research, that threesomes are not, they never actually go the way you plan them, right? So So if you are going with the idea that your significant other or your partner or whoever you're involving, whether male or female or others, they're going to be having fun because you're with them and somebody else is watching you, okay? That's I think that's where the idea is with, right? And they're going to be involved into a certain level. So you're not going to allow it to go beyond that, right? Because we've heard this before. Like, oh, you know, I want this to be done to me. And then the other person's going to be watching. And I'm going to be doing this to the other person. But the other person has other expectations of what's going to be done in the encounter, right? So if they're not met for that second person, then she's going to feel devastated. And she's going to feel cheated. Because, like, wait a minute. What about me? Like, I'm here exposing myself too. So what about me? But let's say that the male or female actually pays more attention to that person than the significant other or the partner. Now it's going to be future, like, cheat. She's going to feel cheated and start thinking, okay, am I not good enough? Like, she does it better than I do? And that's where you're going
to
open that
door. Like, she has a better body than me. He's attracted to that body. I look a mess compared to her. And that's just going to, like, be like, okay, now I'm turned off and I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah. So I think, and let's say, for example, if I put myself in the position of a man, you just want to get this done. Like, I'm the alpha macho male and I just want to get it done. And I don't think you're going to be measuring precisely, oh, I gave her, you know, the D for 10 minutes. I might give her the D. No, I don't think it's going to rationalize like that. I think it's just going to go into the moment and somebody's going to get affected. Somebody will get affected. And I don't think that's good, because you're going to have more repercussions than actually the feeling of feeling completed or satisfied, which I don't think that's going to be the case. So I think that's another point of why you shouldn't have a threesome. What do you think?
Yeah, that, and if you're a jealous person, and like, I wouldn't want my lover, my boyfriend, or my significant other to have sex with another woman while watching. I'm like, I would feel cheated on. I'm like, you're supposed to be mine. I'm sorry, I'm being territorial, but you're supposed to be mine, and I'm not going to share you with another female.
And that's, you know, that's a good point. And the reason why I'm saying that it's a good point, you're not sharing with another female, right, or another male, is because the majority of the people, like I said, they go into it for the wrong reasons, okay? Now, the article that I got from The Psychology of Threesomes, Everybody Wants to Have One, okay, but truly ready for it, that's the name of the article, it states, that the first theft study of threesomes in 30 years, we had found that the motivations went far beyond straightforward novelty seeking, from ticking it off a sexual bucket list to a settling psychological debt, okay? Settling psychological debt. Some of the people that go into a threesome, it's because they want to get back against their partners. And that's what I was saying, that if you have a long relationship and you've done something and they want to get back at you, this is one of the ways they're going to get back at you. So I think that if you're going to do that just to get back at your partner, that's a very bad reason to do it. Imagine if you...
I guess it makes them feel valued.
In what way?
In the cheat... Like, say if that person, their spouse, cheated, and they're doing this as a way to give back to them, it's a way to give them value and think that they're still considered valuable in some form of relationship, even if it's not an actual relationship. It's just sexual.
I guess it could, but I think that what they're doing there, you know, to get back at that partner is to, let's say, for example, if they were unfaithful, right? There was a marriage, they're unfaithful. And then let's say the husband was unfaithful, because that's the majority of the cases. And the woman was just getting back at him. She brings another male into the relationship, right? And now she's paying more attention to the guest. We're going to name the guest. And completely forgets about the husband. Now the husband is going to be thinking, wait a minute. What happened here, right? And she's going to enjoy the guest. And now that's a way for her getting back at him for being unfaithful. So it's not for the right, it's not for the pleasure or the spice of life, it's spice the sex life, but it's more because, okay, you were unfaithful, you're a jerk, let me get back at you, and now you have that little psychological worm that's going to be eating you up for the rest of the time you allow it. And I think that reason itself, it's very toxic, because it's going to create a corrosive relationship, which I don't think...
And that's how later... that actual threesome actually destroys a marriage or relationship.
Yeah.
Because you're always going to have that in the back burner where saying, yes, we did this action and look what happened. It actually destroyed us instead of actually increasing our passion for each other. It just basically broke us.
Yeah. And I think that you need to get to a certain level of maturity, a certain level of confidence, a certain level of trust in the relationship for you to have another guest into your sex life without being corrosive, right? Without being destructive. And the problem, I think, is that not a lot of us, obviously the research and the data shows that only 18% and 10% of women are ready for this. We're going to be more affected than anything. So why would we want to risk that our relationship, if it's already bad, to add more fuel to the fire? I don't think that'd be a good idea.
And then what if you are in a relationship for 20 plus years, or say in a marriage, and later on, okay, you feel comfortable with your spouse, and then later your spouse ends up having with this added guest later on in an affair because actually she enjoyed having sex with this new person and not with you as her husband.
Yeah. And yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Another thing we haven't considered is, let's say the women, if they're actually wanting to have a threesome. The article also states, and I quote, there's been a lot of coercion. And that means when they actually put the practice by forcing them and them allowing to, but with pressure. Okay, that's what the word means.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to group sex and women participation, okay, for example, and the article says, if you think about threesome between two gang members and one of the girls who hangs out with the gang, that threesome could be just much affirming the hierarchy among the men as it has to do with her. So what it's trying to say is that, and what I'm trying to say is that if you're a woman and you don't want to, but you put pressure, enough pressure for you to actually decide and allow to get this done, and you have two men, like in the example, now you're actually going through a hierarchy. Like, I have more power, I'm over you, I control your body, I control your, you know, your actions, so therefore we're going to do this. How psychologically could she be affected? And obviously this is open for men and women, right? But the example I put is two men, one female, but it could also go both ways, because there are a lot of men, obviously, that don't do it. Even though they have the fantasies, they don't do it. But if they're pressured into it, because now if you're a man and you don't do it, the word spreads out. And then you're going to be what? A chicken and blah, blah, blah. And
you're not a man.
You're not a man. So they have that, you know, psychological pressure. And then you end up doing it, but you don't like it. Then how will that affect you in the long run with your next?
And actually the woman is considered what? The tool?
Yeah.
A piece of object?
Yeah. Is that fair? I don't think that's fair. I don't think that should be...
To me, that would be like a sort of like a rape.
But if she's allowing and consenting it, then it's literally not rape. But it does feel like
but
that
if she's
because
being forced.
She's being forced into it. Yeah. So I think that that's where the whole idea is coming from. So we went from, okay, my body, you know, it's I don't feel good about it, to, okay, now I'm being forced into it, even though I don't want to, but, you know, I'm here, might as well, you know. Like you said, I don't think you're going to tell your grandchildren about this because you've literally been forced into something, but that happens. So I don't think that should be the reason why, and that's one of the negative things, because if you're being pressured into it and you don't want to, then it's going to have repercussions. It's intense. It's really something to think about. And that's why we want to say.
And that it's just the positivity. And then this is like the scary part of what could happen in the background with threesomes.
Yeah. Now the article that say too, it says in case studies paint similar grim pictures with women reporting feeling like they couldn't really say no, or that it could be more awkward to go back out than to go ahead. Some male participants also expressed regrets, particularly after having involvement a friend. And that's another thing. Again, we're going back to the confidence that you're giving, you know, during this action. And I think when you're in the heat of the moment, you really don't think about what you're asking. But when you actually are doing it, or when you're done doing it, then you start seeing clearly what you've done. And I think that's really hard to come back from that. I really do. What do you think?
Especially if you're involving a friend. What if that friendship ends and then this person is telling the whole world, hey, I've seen her naked, or I've seen him naked, or I've seen him naked, and guess what? He's not all that everybody cracks up to be. And here goes the talk of town.
Like talk of that. Gotcha. Then you have that little creepy like, gotcha. No, see, I wouldn't be able to do that. Okay. Now, the funny thing, and this is something I actually found out with the research, is that I thought that the majority of the threesomes were actually wanted to be done by young adults, right? 18 and up, right? Or 17, because the study was from 17 and up. But in reality, the ones that actually want to have the majority of the people want to have a threesome are from 40 and up. So from the age of 40 to 60 years old. Now, I can see why, because, you know, you want to spice the sex life. You want to have something different, you know, like they say, and excuse my French. Again, this is what the saying is. What is it? The cow? If you can have the milk for free.
Why do we want to buy the cow if you could get the milk for free?
Right. So I guess where they're coming from, but again, what are they asking? What are they getting themselves into? I don't know.
Well, if you figure a lot of nursing homes, what is their highest health issues?
What do you mean?
What is in nursing homes, the high percentage of illnesses that seniors actually go to a hospital is for STDs.
Are you suggesting that there's a lot of senior citizens, old people, senior boomers having orgies?
Hell yeah.
Dang. I mean, that is true. That is true. There's a lot of STDs in nursing homes because, you know, they're chunk, chunk, pound, pound. But I mean, I don't know.
Grandpa needs to get it in.
And that's why now they're talking to their grandkids. That is disgusting. I'm just saying. I don't know. But going back to the topic, okay, do you think if somebody comes to you and says, listen, what can I do, or should I do this? What would you say? Like, would you go and say, listen, this is the point of why you should, or just go ahead and do it? Or you say, no, man, this is a bad idea. What would you say?
I would ask them, are you sure about it? Why do you want to do it? Is your sex life not fulfilling you at the moment? Are you doing it as a way to please your partner or to spice up your relationship?
I will say that I will ask them, first of all, why do you want to do it? I will ask them, is it because you're missing something, or is it because your relationship is missing something? Because again, I have a firm belief that everything we do starts with the nucleus, which is us, right? We have to figure something out for us to feel complete. And eventually that spreads to me my mind, my body, then my partner, then my family, then my friends, the circle, right? The social and antisocial, then my crew, then my community, then my city, then my state, and so on and so forth. Okay, that's pretty much how I see things running, right? So I'm not saying that the whole state of Illinois should have an orgy. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that if there's something missing mentally, or there's something that you think you miss, right, or in your mind, and you need to complete it because you need to do this for you to feel good about yourself, I should ask, what are you missing before anything else, right? And if you say, mm-hmm. I just want to have the experience because I've always had the curiosity, then I will say, listen, will your significant other, if you're married, will agree with this? And if they say yes, then I'll be like, good riddance. Why are you asking me? You shouldn't be here. You should be doing that chiki-chiki-pang-pang somewhere else. Because, I mean, I'm not going to say no.
El delicioso.
So if you're agreeing to that both together, then you should know the repercussions and what's going to happen after that. I'm just saying, you should know.
And are you strong enough to deal with the aftermath?
That's right. Or physically, if you're going to be tapping out, then don't even go there because, you know, you're going to feel self-conscious. I will feel self-conscious. But if you're not actually stable, and you're missing something, and you think it's not that just to fill the gap, then no, don't do it. I wouldn't suggest it. I wouldn't agree with it. And I think the majority of the cases are that. I don't have the data. I don't have the research. I think this is just me, you know, having my personal theories that are crazy, I know. But I think the majority of the cases why people want to have a threesome is because they're missing something. And they cannot fill that gap.
Or that's just me. They're kinky and they want to put it on their bucket list of sex stuff.
But do you think that's the majority of the cases? These want to be kinky?
You have some people who actually like... And I'm not saying that a lot of people don't like sex, but are interested and really enjoy sex, like to the 10th power, and want to do different activities, especially like... I never knew like there was like sex cults or sex groups.
Yeah, no, that I agree with that too. I mean, there are some, but again, we're talking about an 87% to a 95% that people fantasize of having a threesome. So the majority of the people do want one. The reality is that only 10 and 18% actually get it done. So we see the number going down drastically. My point is that out of those 18 and 10%, why are they doing it? Are they doing it for the right reasons? And after that number, what of that percentage have repercussions of having a threesome? And then what are the negative aspects, or what are the negative repercussions, and what are the positive repercussions of having that threesome? So I don't think that people actually think about those kinds of details. And I think that's the reason why I want to talk about this and why they brought it up to us, because I think it's fair to say that even though we want it, do we really want it, or is it just because we're missing something?
Do you really need it in your relationship? Is there something that's lacking in your relationship that you need this to make sense of your relationship?
Right. So I don't know. I guess that this is one of the topics where we're not gonna have a conclusion. I think we're gonna leave the conclusion to our listeners, because it is a very, very delicate, and not to mention difficult decision to make.
It's a touchy topic.
It's a what?
A touchy topic.
I wouldn't say touchy. You know, I think that it's very natural to have those feelings. I think that the taboo, because we didn't talk about how society sees it, how religion sees it, how, you know, in other aspects, how they see that. Because historically speaking, and I was reading that this week, there was an archaeologist found that there were four actually eras of humanity, right? And one of them was ruled by women, which was the first one. And a lot of there was one scientist who actually used that information as promoting female power, right? Which is fine. But in that era, and I completely forgot the name, but in that era, the first one, women ruled the world. Everything was done with the power of women, because they were the ones who gave us life, right? Obviously. But they actually had several different partners. So they were not only adjusted to one partner. There were many. So We can actually say also genetically that could be engraved in us that we are actually are not polygamous. I'm sorry, we're not monogamous. We're actually polygamous. And that's actually something very interesting to know, because if you have the urge, is it because it's been passed down genetically to us, or is it because it was just engraved because of whatever experience or, you know, whatever, you know, growth that we did through our teenage years? So that's something different. We didn't touch those subjects. I don't want to get too technical, but that's something to consider. Is it you want it because it's your genes, or is it because you just are missing something in your life? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It depends on if you're a strong person and you're willing to see your spouse or significant other with another person, then do it. But make sure that you're both very comfortable. There's guidelines placed and limits and boundaries that are placed before you even cross them, especially with the third person involved. If a third person is involved, I think, yes, you could have that person in the relationship. But don't forget that you're doing it to spice up and continue to show your spouse that you want them. You're interested in them. You're still aroused and want their sense of touch. Not so involved in this third person. Yes, they're in there, but don't forget your connection.
I say this, okay, and this is pretty much what I'm closing with. Everybody pays the piper, okay? Whatever you do, there's always a consequence. So, if you're going to do something that's going to, you're going to have to think about it, I say that you should weigh out the outcome. If you agree with the outcome, then go for it. I've read somewhere that says, if you want to know the person's intention, always look at their results. Right, it will guide you back to what they really wanted at the beginning. So if you wanna have a threesome and you are ready for it and you're mature enough for it and you think it's not gonna have any repercussions after the after fact, good riddance. Go and do what you gotta do, boy. Don't tap out. Go all the way. Go the distance. You do you. All right. But if you think that you're doing it for the wrong reasons and you think it's gonna affect you in the long run and you know you're gonna pay the piper at the end, make sure you make the right decision so you don't pay the consequences as bad. All right. So that would be my advice. If anybody, you know, decides to be asking me, that would be my advice. Like, are you willing to pay the piper the price that you think it deserves? That's all I'm going to say. Well, another segment done. Actually, it was pretty good. We recorded from our homes today. It's a little odd, but, you know, we worked it out. It was good. It was great. So, we will not be recording next week, and we will not be recording in 2 weeks. So we'll see each other in the New Year's. Unless you want to do a recap of the year, and we can do like a special segment one day.
We could think about that, because again, we have to work as a team, and not just one person discussing when we're recording or not.
I guess you're right, because this is Charlie's Bunker with Nelly Baby. So I guess your name's there. I guess I have to run it by you too. All right, guys. In case we don't, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's. Hopefully we come back and do
happy
a recap.
Happy Hanukkah.
Everybody who listened to us and supported us through the year, thank you very much. We could not be doing this without you. Thank you for the topics. Thank you for the music. Thank you for everything you've done for us this whole year. And next year, we can hope to improve. Nothing but improve.
And don't forget to share, like, follow. And how about we get to see if we could get a limit up to 1,000 followers and viewers. Help us reach us get to that goal. At least 1,000 just to start off the new year.
I agree with that. Thank you, maybe that's why you're my co-host, because you come up with the things that I don't. All right, guys. This has been it. Have a good night.